This is Dan Lefianowski
of WBHP-TV.
This just in. There have been reports of a new Super Sharon. Multiple sightings have been called in. Oh my! She has just landed on the White House lawn.
Time to fly, let's get out of here. Time to ride, let go your fear. Let's go, oh, let's go. I'm a Shiro, you're a Shiro, she's a Shiro, yeah. Purpose in my eyes, pride in my thighs, a plan in myself, secrets loud and kept. Never come cheap, not afraid to cry. Against all odds, I will defy. Get the gun and I don't know how. Save the day and I'll take a bow. Where no cake but sure can fly. I'm the truth and I'll tell you why. Uncle Sam ain't on my team. I don't sleep but I sure do dream. Dreaming color every day. When you win then I get paid. Look up in the sky, I gotta go. Somebody needs me to save the show. Paid in full is a plan of action. Even in my heels I got traction. Leaping tall buildings in stilettos. Gotta run to change the ghetto. Possible is never far away. Today is New York, tomorrow Taipei. Riding that train, self-esteem. Hurry and come on, it's about to leave. Don't ever think you just don't let me. We fight together cause we all need. I got your back and you got mine. We stick together, we all shine. Freedom is here and told me to stay. Shiro was here to save the day. Freedom is here and told me to stay. Shiro is here to save the day, yeah.
Time to fly, let's get out of here. Time to ride, let go your fear. Let's go, oh, let's go. I'm a Shiro, I'm a Shiro. You're a Shiro, she's a Shiro, yeah.
Miss Super Shiro, I need your help. There's a man, he's trying to steal my heart.
Sorry, ladies, I cannot finish the song. I've got to go and save the day.
To be continued.
Hello, welcome to Master Griot Radio's Trekkies, Gladiators, and Now Gems. Ask what you will. Tonight on the radio, we have the one and only Leakin Farkinson. He is the chief steward of the Far Corners Studio brand and editor-in-chief. Today we are talking about indie comic book industry, diversity within the comics and industry, and about the Far Corners universe. So ask what you will. If you want to call in and ask questions, please call 646-716-7994. Again, their call-in number is 646-716-7994. Now, our interviewers today are the one and only. We have cosplayer and the co-host of The Zone, that's X-O-N-E, Peace Moore, and our other interviewer, Bill Andrews, celebrity photographer and self-proclaimed comic book geek. So they're going to come on, and they're going to ask all kinds of questions. So if you have questions and you want to speak, please press the number 1 or join us on Twitter. We're doing a Twitter chat, and you can post your questions there. Just use hashtag G-E-H-M-S. That's GEHMS, G-E-H-M-S. Use that hashtag. We'll see your questions, and we'll make sure our interviewers pose the questions to Lincoln. So without further ado, in a minute or two, we're going to be bringing on our hosts, Peace Moore and Bill Andrews.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes, hi, this is Bill Andrews.
Hello, hello, this is Peace Man.
Peace Man, this is Bill Andrews, your co-host. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather. Trying
it's
to get
all right.
Together right before I got on.
We got this, bro.
Yep. Good to hear your voice.
Where do you live, Bill?
I'm in Philadelphia, North Philly, near Temple.
Sweet. North New Jersey, my friend.
Okay. Has anybody else gotten on yet?
I'm trying to figure that out now.
Okay. You can stay on.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Lincoln.
This is Lincoln, yes.
Yes, the smooth brother.
He should definitely be on radio.
Thank you.
Your universe is so diverse, brother. And I love the artwork.
Thank you.
So we
got a few very fortunate
storylines there.
We've been very fortunate to have great talent join us. So, yes. I thank you all. I just wish I could take the credit for the beautiful drawings.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I showed me a couple of things today. It looks really good.
Yeah. It's sick.
Well, gentlemen, I just like to ask, you know, I'm a little new to this indie comics thing, so I just want to know, what is the indie comics? What's the indie comic industry? You know, like, what is that? You know, what does that mean?
Well, my name is Peace Moore. I'm from Newark, New Jersey, and I'm about to answer that question in 1 minute. Indie comics, for me, is someone put a labor of love between the artist and the writer and coming up with a story of maybe not the usual setting of a superhero, but from their own point of view and bringing it to the masses, bringing it to the kids or the mature audience, depending upon their genre or their demographic, and at the end of the day, bring something beautiful.
Yeah, this is Lincoln, Editor-in-Chief of Far Corner Studios. I think that, you know, that's a good description of it as well. From the corporate side, from the business side, it's mainly individuals like sole proprietors or even partnerships that do not have the type of capital and marketing reach that larger organizations would have. So you have, the big three, which is considered Image, Marvel, and DC, but you also have other organizations like IDW. You have, which is mainly a publishing company, not really a comic book making, creating company. They only publish already established titles. And then you have also Valiant, which is much smaller than Marvel and DC, but yet still has a large market share in comparison to your typical indie artist. A typical indie artist is really someone who is an average person who is still working 9-to-5 and still devotes part of their resources to creating literary work. And sometimes they are simply artists who self-publish, and sometimes they're a publishing house that publishes other artists.
Couldn't say that better myself. You said it right there.
Well, just for our audience, to get our audience on up to speed, I like for you, Bill, and then you, Peace, to take a moment and introduce yourselves, to say who you are and your relationship, you know, to your geekdom, to your comic book geekdom. And then after you finish, you guys, you know, introduce Lincoln, and Lincoln, you know, let the audience know, you know, your full relationship to, you know, to the industry.
Sure.
So let's start with Bill.
Well, I am Bill Andrews. I am a celebrity photographer, videographer, member of the media, promoter, and I've been a Marvel geek and a DC fan for all my life. So with that, I've pretty much kept up to date on almost every movie that there's ever been. So if they have any type of Marvel universe, you know, I've been through it, under it, and I can also say that I probably don't really like it as much because I was one of the original people saying, "Oh, wow, I can't wait until they make X-Men into an actual cartoon." I mean, not cartoon, movie. Sorry, I'm trying to focus. Hold on, here, take that. Yeah, sorry about that. I was a little unfocused on that one. But yeah, so going back to when I was about 4 years old, I started reading Marvel comic books and DC comic books. And I also have a couple of friends that are artists. I've dealt with different people who have gotten their own stuff that they've been doing, but they just haven't been able to get to that next level. So I'm really happy to see that, you know, you guys have such a fine product right here. And the characters that I've seen so far, the three or four, their powers and the limits of their abilities, I just love it. You know, it's very, very original. The drawing, everything. And I've seen some people, like I said, that have had different types of comic book characters that they've made and different types of animations. But this is something that I think is going to be really good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Great. And you, Peace, tell us about you.
Okay. Hello, hello, everybody out there in the internet world. My name is Peace. I'm on Facebook as Peace Moore. I have many hats. Let's say that for a second, and I'll just go right into it. I'm a born native Newark, New Jersey. I'm a dancer, entertainer, MC, co-host of a show called The Zone, which is X instead of a Z. And it's a YouTube show that's out there right now. And besides that, I MC comic book conventions, mini cons, even documented pieces of some through Rutgers, other through even working with kids. Mostly at the end of the day, it's all about bringing it to whatever event I'm doing and making sure everyone have a good time. But besides that, on the geek side, I've been into cartoons and comic books since I can see. I mean, since, you know, I used to remember watching the old Marvel cartoons where they used to swing and then the voices would be like, you know, whatever. Now, they're probably in the 60s, but, you know, as a kid, growing up, you watch a little bit of everything. But reading a comic book, I think I was around 14 when I purchased my first comic book. And I think it was Iron Man. I can't tell you the exact number, but Marvel and DC alike, and then getting into some of the independent publishing companies. At the end of the day, it's like when you're a kid and you open your mind to this different types of literature and you see the visuals, your mind just escapes into that world, and it's a beautiful thing. But back to leaking stuff, Far Corner Studios, I'm going to tip my hat off to you guys because it's a very enriched story. I mean, you have many different characters I see. You can kind of identify with all the characters to a degree, but if you read the storyline, of course, you know, you would get more like, wow, these guys are coming from a different point of view, but at the same token, they're still bringing it in that comic book genre. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, thank you, Peace. I hope to be on your show at some point.
Oh, yeah, you will. You will. We're going to make this happen because you're the man for real, and we're going to definitely make this happen.
Thank you. Thank you. I guess I'll go. My name is Lincoln Farquharson. I am originally from Atlantic City, New Jersey. I currently live in Newark, New Jersey. I have been reading comic books. I can't even remember when I started reading comic books, but I was young, before I was a teenager. Someone had to buy them for him. My dad used to buy them for me all the time. He was big on reading. And I can't remember what my first book was, but I know I was an X-Men fan. I can't remember how I even started with X-Men. But I was an X-Men fan. I did read some DC books, but I took to X-Men and Marvel books mainly. And it was really X-Men. I didn't really read much of any other Marvel books, maybe even X Factor or X-Men 2099. And then I started writing my own stories as well when I was young. And for a long time, I'm the oldest of seven. So for a while, I was by myself. So I had to keep myself entertained. So I was either building stuff through Legos or I was creating stuff by tacking up stories. And I used to do all kinds of stories and poems and things like that. So that's how it started. And my first comic book story was when I was around 10 years old. And I was watching X-Men and I was watching Star Trek. Star Trek is one of my other favorites. And I said, wouldn't it be interesting if you put X-Men on a starship? And that's how Team Genesis pretty much was born from that concept of trying to put the X-Men on a starship. And so I started working on the story when I was 10, 11 years old. I was using characters from people that I knew and creating characters based on real people. You know, my friends in school, and I would bring it. I remember seventh grade, I would bring in pieces of the story to school and let my friends read about them, read about how I used them in the story. And it didn't mean anything to them at the time, you know. And it was just something to do. And I kept those stories. Even to this day, I still have many of the original stories. And it wasn't until about 2013 I had started to get into T-shirts. I wanted to make T-shirts. And when I started making, when I started looking for logos, looking for artists to draw a logo for me, my friend said, why don't you just go on Facebook and look for it? And I was like, duh, you know, I'm on Facebook all day, any other day. And I never even thought about using Facebook to recruit talent. So I went online and I found a guy who has started his own little group for independent artists. And I said, well, let me join, you know, let me connect with this guy. Let me find out how to get connected with other artists. And just so I could find somebody to draw a logo for my comic book. And I stumbled across these other groups that were all about comic book creation. And I said, wouldn't it be interesting if I can get one of these guys to draw a character from my story that I created like so many years ago? And all I was trying to do was just get the characters drawn because this would be my first time actually having a visual of what was in my head, right? And one thing led to another. We brokered a deal, me and this one gentleman. He had connections to all these different comic book artists. And we brokered this deal, put it in writing, and he got everybody together in a Facebook group chat. And they heard my story. I wrote up the idea to them, and they started coming up with character concepts. And one artist stood out above all of them, and that was Arturo Gutierrez, the one who drew issues 1, 2, and 3. And he came up with some excellent concept art. And many of the characters, like Vibrant, Ice Storm, Flare, well, I'm sorry, Vibrant, Ice Storm, Mirage, they were thought of in the original sitting down brainstorming idea. So what you see now, those characters were the original character designs that he created just based off the descriptions I gave of what I thought the characters should look like. And we've been, you know, we rode together ever since. And basically that's how Parkour Series came about. I mean, it was just, by chance, I ran into some people and looking for something else and found some talent. They wanted to do this, and then, you know, they wanted to expand it more and talk about, you know, building up more characters. And on the business side, that's on the artistic side. On the business side, it was a little bit different, right? It was a little bit more complicated than that. So you have to draw up contracts. Right, you have to draw up non-disclosure agreements. You have to draw up contracts between artists, but also contracts between the people who's actually going to manage this business. Because now you're talking about creating a business, and I was already thinking about creating a T-shirt business. So now I had to change directions altogether. And so I took this opportunity to call up a friend of mine. His name is Carlos, and we used to work together. And I called him up one day and I said, would you like to go into the comic book with me? And he said, yeah. Now, keep in mind, Carlos, for years, when me and Carlos used to work together, we used to write movie scripts. And we wrote a Wonder Woman script that we actually went to Hollywood lawyers to pitch and everything. And so when that flopped, you know, he had moved to North Carolina. And so that was just the end of all of our hopes and dreams. So when I called him up, he didn't really hesitate to jump on board. So he and I went into a partnership to establish Far Corner Studios, along with another individual. And that's how Far Corner Studios came about, for the most part.
Wow, that was really interesting.
it definitely was. It's funny that you said about X-Men being on a spaceship, because I think I was in like third grade, and that was the actual way it went with the original Phoenix thing. So
yeah,
the storyline with Phoenix.
I remember that.
Yeah, the Phoenix saga is about to come out in the theaters in 2018, and originally, there was a cartoon, I think maybe the one that you were talking about, the X-Men cartoon that came on every, I think it was Saturday. And they did a little bit of it, because Professor X wound up falling in love with a vision that he had, but he didn't know that it was an alien woman that was connecting with him psychically. So
right.
It just so happens that Cyclops' father was one of the Star Jammers. He had been abducted
as
a child, so forth and so on. So that's the original thing that really got me and made me a Marvel Universe fan. That storyline right there. That was what captured my attention and made me say, I can't wait until this comes out as a movie. And it took about 30 some odd years, but they did.
Well, now it's funny because of the technology, finally catch up with the story. You know, just like with George Lucas with Star Wars, it all started with the comic book. Everybody still realized that's how he became what he is today, because of the comic book. And as far as Far Corner Studios, your storyline is on that path. And I would definitely say that I could see a cartoon or a movie or like a full featured film out of it, because it's such a diverse history and the allure. I like it. I'm not just saying just to praise it. It's just I like the fact you went so extensive into each character and the character development, that those different stories. Now, how many books do you have, by the way?
We have four. Yes, we have four produced. We have Team Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and Delta Squadron 1.
Okay. It was funny because I was thinking you only had three, and then it's like, wait a minute, there's a fourth one? Oh, my gosh. That's what's up. So let me get this straight. So when you were developing these characters, I mean, a little bit of yourself was encompassed into each of these characters.
Well, not really. I think the only one that I could say really is a little bit of me would be probably Dr. Grant, Ice Storm, and Flare. Those three probably infuse more of me than the others. I mean, arguably, a little bit of me is in all of them, I guess you could say. But what, just talking about the character development, you know, and I'm going to touch on diversity as well a little bit here, because when you create characters, many times we create characters and we base the characters through our lens or through our understanding of the world. And so the characters generally have a singular view about much of everything. And even we see that in X-Men. I mean, everybody seems to be, if they're an X-Men, like everyone's on the same path, right? Everybody wants to, you know, build this bridge between humans and humans, right? And everyone who's not an X-Men can care less about that. So it's very like everybody is thinking the same way. And everyone works fairly collaboratively. And even when they have, like, little personal spats, they still work together collaboratively. And But that's not realistic, right?
Yep.
That's not real life. And, you know, my day job is really working with an education. I work at higher ed. I work for Rutgers University in Newark. And I work in program development for high school students and for college students. And part of that, you know, and in my years of training is in social development, human development, education, and getting people to the next stage in their lives post-college, right? So you have to know people, right? You have to study people. You have to know psychology. You have to understand what makes people tick so you can better address the problems that they have. So I think when you're a writer and you're a creator and you're trying to create real people, you have to do your research, right? So when we talk about diversity, a lot of times, and even indie artists, they believe diversity is different faces. But diversity is also different political positions, different religious positions, different attitudes, okay? If you get five random people in a room, how would they react? Yeah, so what? We all have superpowers. That doesn't mean anything. You know, I know my past dictates my present in many ways, right? So if I come from a broken home, it doesn't matter how much superpowers I have. I'm still going to react in a way that's reflective of that broken home. And so now you bring these people together. Yes, we all have this common purpose. We all have this common thing, right? We all know Dr. Grant, for example, right? And we're all now caught in this web of fear because the government's out to get us and people just want to understand us. And, you know, we have nowhere else to go. So that's what's going to bring us together, and that's what's going to keep us physically together. But what's going to keep us on the same team working together? See, that's where you start talking about the different dynamics and characters. Like, for example, Streaks is already carefree. Streaks is the runner in the group. He's carefree. He's really smart. He's fast. He's quick-witted. And he was there before. He has a different relationship with Dr. Grant. And Ice Storm is very, you know, more seasoned as a leader because he's had formal training as he used to be part of the Department of Homeland Security. So he has formal training. He's a little older, and his personality is just a little bit more serious. And so what happens when someone is who sees a much bigger picture, like Ice Storm sees a bigger picture, and he sees, like, you know, Dr. Grant wants us all to be together, but he doesn't really understand that I have to train these people to really deal with the threats of the world, because he's coming from Homeland Security training. You know, he's coming from being the oldest person. He's coming from this perspective, and he's saying, these guys need to be trained. They're not, you know. And, and Strix is like, listen, I'm just here to, you know, do what I want to do. And so you have this constant, you know, back and forth, you know. But they're going to go through situations where it forces both of them to see the other. And that's something that we just don't do sometimes. And when we're in groups, what we tend to do is we just want to state our opinion and just have people accept it instead of trying to understand why each other is different. And so what we're going to do in Team Genesis is try to really explain diversity, explain diversity a little bit better than what has been happening in comic books and in literature, you know, and in the world, really. I mean, Rutgers University, for example, is one of the Rutgers University Newark tilts itself as the most diverse campus. But even when you have 100, you know, ethnicities, it still can be a very segregated place. You know, because certain groups are going to stay within their own little sector. There's nothing wrong with that, but how do you bring those people together, right? How do you do that? You have to teach people how to respect true diversity, meaning that differences in opinions, differences in how we see the world, differences in how we interact. And so in order for a writer to really do that, you know, I am a black male living in New Jersey. How do I get to know what a white woman in Ireland is doing, right? So I have to do some research. You've got to study the history of these countries. You have to study the history of certain cultures,
demographics,
history of religions. That's right. Mm-hmm. And then you have to talk to people who may fit those descriptions. You know, you have to survey individuals. There's a lot of groundwork you have to do if you're really trying to you know, be authentic in it. And don't get me wrong, it's going to be limited to certain things because you are not a
from
Irish,
that area.
You know, right? You know, you are not a white woman in Ireland. So you're going to be limited in many ways because you are not that. But
exactly.
I think that people who read it will at least respect the attempt. And that's what we're hoping.
Well, I would definitely think so too. I mean, like you said, it's all that hashtag diversity. We got to put that out there. We definitely have to put that out there because people got to understand, like, for instance, I can be from Brooklyn. You know, I'm not from Brooklyn, but, you know, it's just the whole mentality. If you're from Brooklyn, depending upon what type of family you have, and you're put in a situation that, I'm sorry. I thought someone said something. I'm sorry. But let me just get to the point.
No, that was my son. I'm sorry.
Good.
No, just go ahead and finish. That wasn't me. He said something to me, and I had taken the phone off from you. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. I apologize. No, I was just trying to point out that it's just that, like you said, we all think a certain way and all be from different point of views, but in the universe of realness, we have to come together for the common goal. And in this case, you know, it doesn't always work that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's all about trying to get through to get there.
Right.
Okay.
And I think, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just as a producer, I just want to come on for a moment and let you know we have a few callers on the line. Everyone, thank you for calling in. And are you ready to take some questions? We have a caller from the 862.
Sure.
Hello.
Hi there.
862, that's Jersey.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. This is H.B. Gibson, the creator and host of The Zone, and I know that my buddy, my boy, my Energizer Bunny Peace, the co-host of the show, is also there. What's going on?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what? I made a promise that I wouldn't call him Energizer Bunny anymore. The reason why I call him that is because he brings so much energy to the show, and I appreciate him so much.
He does.
Yeah, now I'm looking.
He's like that. He's like that in real life too.
Oh no! Y'all going in on me now?
No. He's great. He provides a lot. He does a lot for the show. While I'm at home, you know, trying to like work things out as far as like the formatting and looking for we don't want to leave out those people that so-called don't have so-called big names, but the whole purpose of the zone is to give people that normally would not have a stage, but it does not hurt to have like a, you know, some kind of a name on it. So I've been, you know, doing my research trying to see if we can get some celeb juice on the show. But I'm looking at your website here. I'm looking at on Alignable, Far Corner Studios. And I have seen this particular character a couple of times before on a few flyers. He has blue skin. He has a cape.
What's the name of this character?
I'm sorry. Ice Storm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, was the question already asked of how long you've been doing this?
No. It's only, I mean, no one's really asked. I kind of said it, but we started official work in 2014.
Right.
Okay.
So the first book came out. We started working January 2014. All artists were signed. And then the first book came out in June 2014. We were at Philadelphia Comic Con that month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our first book came out, was produced in about 5 months and printed, and it was we were selling it that same year.
And what makes your characters and your stories? What kind of an approach do you take to your stories that's different from, say, a DC, from a Marvel? You know, what separates you from them?
Well, one, our characters age and die. And we don't. That's the biggest thing. The other thing is that not everyone is just a gem. Like, you know, you don't just wake up one day. Everyone has powers, right? So
right.
There isn't this race of mutants or superhumans. There are certain people who have special gifts.
Yes.
And so those people are what the story is about. And
right.
And the other thing is that it's more character driven than it is anything else. I mean, there's a lot, there's action, of course, because we have to give that to move the story along and to keep people entertained. But
right.
The real focus is how the people interact and how they make their decisions. And so the character development is the key to the Far Corner Studios.
Character development is very important to keep people interested and to keep people, you know, emotionally invested with the character. We want to see the hero win. We want to see where these characters are coming from. We as the audience can decide who we can get behind. And I think that was one of the reasons why, you know, like them or hate them, the Marvel films, particularly Civil War, you know, I found myself actually kind of flipping sides, going one minute Team Stark and one minute Team Captain America. Why? Because the characters have so many layers and we've seen them go through so many things. And a lot of people also counted out in the beginning when you first heard about a Power Ranger movie. Everybody kind of like passed it off like, oh, my God, well, really, they're going to do that? But when you see the movie, the characters actually have layers, which brings me to this question. Who do you see possibly, you know, Hollywood is knocking on your door saying, hey, we like your comic. We like the characters. We like the character development. We like where you're going with this. Who would you like, if you had a choice, to direct a film based on your characters? Who would you like to do a movie on your comics?
You know, I will say that I know no one. And let me say that, not to say that I don't know anyone to do it. What I'm saying is that I'm not good at knowing who's who in Hollywood. So normally Carlos does all that. Like, Carlos be the one that tells me, this person should play Ice Stone, this person should play Flair, this person should direct, this person should produce. Like, because I don't know anyone. Like, I don't watch TV, so I can't even tell you. And when the credits come on, I don't even pay attention to the credits or who directed it or anything like that. Like, I'm one of those people who just go for content only.
You're like, whatever for the movies, I'm into comics. Let the movie guys do the movies and let me do the comics. That's what you say.
Well, not even that, because then they ask me, well, who's your favorite writer? And I'm like, well, I don't know, because I don't even know them like that.
But see, that's very cool. That lets you know, like, you know, listen, I'm focused. You know, I'm worried about this universe. I'm not really thinking about that universe. But if Hollywood does happen to call, you know, I would say do some research and make sure
that's the first thing you talked about.
I trust Carlos to make that decision. He'll know. He tells me who's the best and who isn't. So,
would you say no to a fan film, an upcoming artist or an upcoming filmmaker sees your comic and says, "Hey, you know, I want to do a superhero film, but I want to do something independent. I haven't seen these guys before. I haven't seen Far Corner Studios, work before. But now that I'm looking at it, it's looking really interesting." You know, I know that, you know, there's a lot of fan films that have been, well, films, I can't even call them fan films, because fan films is based on pre-existing franchises. But I'm talking about somebody that actually do a film, like a short,
on your
character.
Any kind of, I'm open to all that. I don't mind, you know. I don't mind people taking the characters and making stories from them and anything like that. I think it's high praise, you know, that someone would take time out of their day, use their limited resources, whether that's time, money, whatever, that someone will take the limited resources to, you know, to dress up like you, to dress up like your characters, or to use your material. I think that's high praise, honestly.
That really would be awesome. And now, and you know what else would be awesome?
I'd just like to join in. Yes. But you know what I also like to just say? I like to also say in response to that, as part of the Far Corners universe, you know, that is really not far off. You know, Lincoln already has vision. He knows where he wants to go. And he already has a vision, and when you had a vision and you write it down, you attract what you need. You know, I do marketing, and I also do marketing for, been doing marketing for theater since 1998. So that is really not far off at all. That's really where we're working to. And we've had a couple nods from people about actually doing licensing. That's how strong the characters are.
Good. So, excellent.
That sounds possible. So we spoke it out there. If anybody wants to talk to them.
Well, listen, on that note, I know you got more callers and everything. I want to just thank you for accepting my call. And I would like to have each and every one of you, including the host of this wonderful radio show, on the zone very soon. Hey, Peace, let's make it happen.
Yes.
That's when is the next time the zone comes on?
It's a show that's on YouTube. We're up 7 episodes, actually 8 episodes if you include the little sub episode that we little segment that we just put on. It is a geek based web series where we talk about comic books, anime, film, cosplay, conventions. Especially, we want to give stage to the independent comic book artist. That's one of my main things, and independent filmmakers and, you know, cosplayers. We want to give them a stage, as well as possibly having, you know, some celebs on the show, but we really want to give a stage to those who would normally not have a stage. That's one of the main missions of The Zone. You can catch it on YouTube right now. Just look up The Zone. You'll see a big black and red X with the word The Zone in yellow letters is on YouTube right now. It's hosted by myself and Mr. Peace Moore, and we're having a great time.
And that Zone is X-O-N-E, right?
X-O-N-E.
Yes. All right. And I'm and so you guys are on YouTube, so that means I have to bring my own makeup artist, right? Because I can't be seen.
There you go. You're like, look, you got to get all the good stuff. And listen, I don't know where anybody else's faith is, but I go by the Bible and I say, come as you are.
I hear you. Well, thank you so much for joining us, though. I appreciate you.
All right, man, thanks for having me. I'll see you guys next time.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah.
Bill?
Yeah, so I just like to ask if there are any other callers.
I'm here.
If you have a few more callers on the line, if you want to speak, just press 1, and that way we'll know that you want to speak. And if you don't, just keep listening in. So, no one, as we're waiting for people to respond, Lincoln, why don't you, you know, what's on the horizon for Far Corners for this year? You know, what, I mean, I know you talked about your first book, but how many books are, you know, out? How many print? How many digital? And, you know, let us in on the prequel coming at the end of the year and about these meetups.
Okay. So we have 3 printed. That's Team Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And we have 4 digital, which is Team Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and Delta Squadron 1. Delta Squadron 2 has been colored. It's just waiting to get lettered. And then we have Team Genesis 4, which is the script is done up, so we just now have to begin the actual drawing of that. And then we have a prequel that we're creating, well, I'm writing, and partnership with my, I have a writer on staff, and so together we're writing the prequel to all of this. It's called How It All Began. Not really original title there, but It is basically how it all began, right? Where the story starts. And the story, let me give you this backstory just a little bit, that this story is not about Team Genesis, right? This story is not about a group of strangers coming together to save the world, okay? This story is about two people from the future who are trying to carry out their own mission. And one of those individuals is Dr. Grant, and the other one is another being called Energox. And Energox is an alien from another planet, obviously, alien. So they're both from the future. And so how it all began brings us to introducing us to Dr. Grant and Energox in their actual timeline. And it shows how they came to our path. And that's how it all starts. So we're looking forward to the prequel. The prequel will be broken into four parts, 01 through 04. It will be free. It will probably be on Tumblr, but we're also making up our website right now. Our website should be ready to go by June. My fingers are crossed. So it will probably be on our website as well. And we also have some meetups coming up, right? Honestly, the meetups is Jackie's idea. I just say, sounds great, let's do it. I know that we've asked Peace, right, to come on board and help us flesh out what these meetups look like. And,
hello.
Because we want the meetups to be about, and keep in mind, the meetups, my suggestion has always been, the meetups shouldn't just be about Far Corner Studios, just like this conversation isn't really about Far Corner Studios. I mean, yes, the focus is Far Corner Studios, but the conversation is also about diversity, right? All about the indie industry,
yes.
Right? And so we want the meetups to also be about that. We want the meetups also to be about the indie industry and diversity and how we can, and using Far Corners as the focus when we talk about these issues. So I think there's a lot of issues that we can talk about that comics tend to want to address and that Far Corners is, you know, addressing, you know, whether it be diversity or independent business, you know, the business of comic books. I mean, that's something that's very rarely talked about as well. So we're getting those meetups together, and I look forward to participating in those meetups myself, making sure everyone gets their copies of Team Genesis 1. I'll make sure everybody has them signed. I have signed copies of Team Genesis 1 piece for you to give out. And so look for that. And Jackie, you'll be posting that up soon about when those meetings are and what we'll be discussing with those meetings.
All right. What I also wanted to ask about, because we're in a closeout time, but I really want to quickly talk a little bit about cosplay. Because Bill was talking to me about cosplayers here.
Right.
We had the festival, the
Cherry
Blossom
Festival.
Yeah,
we were there.
And I know you're, yeah, and then, you know, Bill is a photographer, so I'm just, like, curious, you know, I mean, are you doing a lot with cosplay? You know, what's the growth of cosplay? You know, you talk a little bit about it, and then you talk a little bit about it, Peace, and, you know, and you guys let us, you know, do Far Corners have characters that cosplayers would be interested in? As well.
Bill?
Yes.
Do you want to? I have a lot to say, but I want you to hear. I want you to chime in because I know you got a lot to say too.
I wanted to kind of piggyback off of this and try to link what
okay.
I wanted to ask since you said we were on short time. You had said something earlier about your characters actually die. Now, that's very, very interesting to me. So that brought about a question in my head is, one of my favorite TV shows of all time was 24, and I'm really starting to like 24 Legacy. Now they do
the new show, right?
Yeah, they do a real time frame with what it is that they're showing you. Now, is that what you're going to do with your characters as well? Do a real true time frame that, say, for instance, you know, the X-Men have been pretty much the same age if they do the original X-Men that I started reading. They've kind of remained the same age over the course of like 30 years. Now, if you're going to kill your characters off, and then I'm hoping you're going to replace them with someone, are you thinking of doing it in that same time frame there? Because I think that this would be the key thing to separate how people are going to see your characters and want to become cosplayers. If you're going to do something that different, because I've never seen that done in a comic book before, if that's on a table, I think that's something that's going to grab a whole different audience of people, because it's more of a, more about what we've been seeing on TV today with Marvel going out and doing their offshoots. They're doing things that are just so different, and that's something that probably would be catchy that would have people talking about it. And I know several Japanese organizations, and they're always looking for little things like that just to, you know, hang their hats on, even if they you know, can't even speak English. So, again, you know, with the cosplayers, it's really big on how you capture them. And I think that if you could come off with something like that, even change maybe a little bit so you give them maybe a time frame, I don't know, like dog years, for instance. You know, okay, 7 years is 1 year in comic book time. So if you could touch on that.
I hope I'm going to be able to answer your question correctly, so because I have I'm understanding it. So every character has a birthday, and let me go further back. I have no intention of having this Team Genesis drag out forever. You know, Marvel has been around, what, for 70 years or so? I have no intention of it lasting 70 years. And I know that sounds like so crazy, right? Because everyone wants to be like the others. But, I mean, honestly, I don't think that's real. You know, I don't think that's realistic. What I think is that, and I know that if you were to go corporate, they would be like, you're crazy. We're going to reanimate these people if necessary. But I think one is unoriginal, okay? I think that it's a cop-out is an easy way. You know, if someone if someone likes Captain America, what they do is they constantly reinvent the same Captain America, and or they constantly bring him back out with different storylines because, you know, he's a guaranteed sell. It's a really, it's a business move. It's not really a creative move. It's a business move. You stick with what you know, which is why we have Hollywood rehashing old movies, because they have been known to sell, and they don't want to take risks with new ideas. So what when we for the creative, you know, it's easier that way also for the creative side because you don't have to come up with new characters. For me, this is, you know, this isn't really, I guess it's because this isn't my passion in life that this is why I gave everybody a timeline. So for me, when I did it, I said, you know, they're all going to age. They're all going to, and if they get killed in the story, they're not coming back unless it's like some really, really special circumstance. And even then, you can't use it but only one or two times, right?
Right.
So I like that. I would create the characters that have that, and that's why they start fairly young to give us that time. So by the time you guys get wind of them, they may be in their late 20s, which is still good to still use them.
Right.
Do we follow real time? Yes and no. We tend not to put dates outside of their birthday. So you may see in the story, it may say present, which could be 2015 when you read it, could be 2018 when you read it. So I'd say within a 5-year window, you know, maybe 2 years have passed, right, versus an actual 5 years. In the end, if a person was born in 1983 and we're now in 2023, is that person going to be 40? Probably.
Right.
We would have to kind of honor that, you know.
Yeah.
That person would be 40. So the goal, that's why it puts more pressure on us as a organization to really get this off the ground very quickly, to really get the story out there very quickly, because we have put a time limit on our characters. We put an expiration basically on our characters. And so the longer we wait or the longer it takes for this to gain traction, the older our characters will get
And so it will change the way the story is being told for many of them, because with age comes different perspectives, different personalities, different situations. There's opportunity there, of course, to, you know, be very different, right? How do you deal with a middle-aged, you know, superhero, right? We normally deal with it in a very comedic way or a very, very serious way, but we never put them on the same level as young superheroes. And so it will be interesting to see a character that started out young and has gradually aged into this position. So we're playing with that, but we do have a deadline. Our characters will age and they will die off.
Great answer.
Yeah,
If you get into the cosplay portion of it, like I said, I believe that what you're saying will capture people's imaginations, because that's really what cosplay is about, just people seeing what it is that they relate to inside of a character, that they want to be that character. That's why so many African-American women, you know, look at Storm, and the character that you have is beautiful. She's gorgeous. Her powers are great. I really see a lot of African-American women being able to relate to her. But the diversity that you have going on, too, it's going to be astounding. I just know it is. And I want to throw up one other thing in there, too. A couple people that I thought of that could go and do something, some type of directing for hopefully a movie. Two people that I've met. One is Ron Howard, and they haven't done this before. I was looking for someone kind of with a fresh start in the comic book world or Marvel or DC that hasn't done it yet. Mm-hmm. And then the other one would be the Transformers director, Michael Bay. I've met both of them, talked to them at times, and these two guys are just, they're wonderful people. And I think that they would do the other thing that I was thinking, which is I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And despite the fact that, I've been a Star Wars fan since I could remember. But I can tell you that I haven't really been happy with the scripts, because every one of the Star Wars movies is exactly the same as the one before it.
Right.
It's always been that way,
right.
And it's just something I've accepted. So when you had said, look, it is what it is, you know, they have certain ways of going about things and blah, blah, blah. But if you were to have that director, the other directors that I've seen that have been doing this, they have a way of not really being true to the comic book. And I guess you as the creator, how would you feel about that? You know, I would assume that you would want to have some type of, goal in mind to say, okay, we're going to stick to the script some way, because these guys are, you know, okay, we do the old in Star Trek, we're going to have Spock go back in time, and we're going to have a whole different timeline so we can have the different characters, and we can have this and we can have that. I'm not really a fan of that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm not really a fan of that, but how far off course of what it is that you want is your core do you want the storyline to go to? So say you have that best-selling, you know, storyline like the X-Men had with the one when they had the Sentinels and they had to come back in time and everything else. I forget what the name of it is. Back to
Future
Past.
Days of Future Past.
So if you have an epic, you know, comic series like that, or a storyline like that, want them to stick directly to it? I mean, if you could put a number to it, maybe an approximation, 80%, 70%, would you care? As long as one of these guys got behind it.
So I think that it's very situational. Like right now, first of all, I'm not stuck to my story to the point where it's mine, you can't change it, da, da, da. Everything's negotiable to me. This is a business, and we have to keep that in mind, that this is about making money, okay? Let's just get right to the root of that, all right? So if there's an opportunity, someone saying, listen, we're going to pay you $10 million to, you know, buy the rights to your story, but we're going to write this script, and you can consult us, but we have a direction that we see for this movie, hey, go right ahead, in my opinion, to really. Now, I would encourage them to stick to what made people come to the story in the first place. You know, stick to the foundations of why people like the story. And I hope that they will listen to that. You know, but I also know that you have to be able to negotiate these things. You can't just say it's all or nothing. And so, you know, in the situation, I don't know how it would be. I don't know what they would say.
Right.
And I can't. So I would argue that I would argue for keeping the basics, the foundation, the founding principles of the story, because that's what drove people to it originally. As long as you give that. Now, I would like for them to stick to canon. One of the reasons why I am not a fan of the X-Men movies, because they do not stick to canon at all.
No,
they
don't.
They have rewritten the stories, and one thing I've always said was that if you want to make a different story, fine, but don't change character history, because then it becomes obvious that these are fictional characters. And in my opinion, people like your characters because they see themselves in it. That's the reality of it. I mean, we go into fantasy because we try to escape, you know, our world, our real world, and live just different worlds. But we also want to see ourselves in those places and spaces. And so when you change the character's background or history, it changes how we now see ourselves in these characters. And so I think that was probably my only sticking point I don't mind you making a different Team Genesis number one if you're going to make a movie out of it. Just keep the characters the same. I think that would probably be my only caveat in that.
Gotcha. I guess the other thing that comes to mind is that, not Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, you know, he's kind of taking a back seat to, you know, Star Wars and everything else. But then comes to mind for me is the Dragon Ball Z, which is a big anime that's been around for, 30 years or so.
Yeah.
And Dragon Ball Z, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but the gentleman sold off the rights and he wound up coming back and he had taken the rights back to, you know, rewrite the story because he didn't like the way that they went with it.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely into it. And on that subject, along with his storyline, like I said, I like the fact that he pointed out he wants to still look at it as a business, but yet stick to the foundation of what brings people to the story. And I think that's what the original owner of Dragon Ball did. He walked away from it. He was doing video games. He was doing other things, other projects. And when he came back to the fold, he was like, wait a minute, this is not what I want, you know, for my fans to realize. So it's kind of interesting now as a new canon, but I do like the direction that they're pointing in. Not so far some of the colors, you know, but overall, if you know what I mean with their power up, but overall, I'd like the storyline. It's kind of like, okay, this is what brought me to this in the first place.
Right.
But back to what we were talking about, the cosplaying scene is always evolving. I am going to admit I'm still a puppy in this rim, but what I would like to – yeah. I'm not going to say I'm a master. I'm not a master at this stuff. I've just been brought into this universe as a cub. Let's say it's from a cat point of view because my girlfriend's she's a Gata Negra. So I got to shout out my girlfriend, Gata Negra, because she's a cosplaying hip-hop artist. So back to the form of looking at this, it's always changing. I watch cosplaying Melee. I watch other shows, even the sci-fi realm. It's like it's always evolving. That's how Harley Quinn is so big now because the cosplayers look at, you know, the industry look at the cosplaying world, and that's how they're drawing their ideas now. They look at someone do a different costume, a different idea, and like, okay, I can use this in the costume, or I can use this in a storyline, and they take it to a whole new level by looking at us, you know? So I think it's a very interesting thing to see if we can cosplay some of his characters and bring them to the forefront, you know, or genderbender, you know, the genderbender, if you don't know what that is. Gender bending is like when you have a female character and it'll be done as a male, or a male character done as a female. And I've seen plenty of them in many different ways. And I like your characters have like a full on, like, okay, I could see someone doing this in this way, you know, or you could see, like, let's say the John McEnroe. I know I'm just saying names for the sake of saying, but, you know, there's a lot of heavy hitter cosplayers out there. And some people stick to one particular character. But these characters, I can see someone, okay, I can see someone wearing that costume of Ice Storm, right? That's the one of your characters, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like, because he's very defiant. You could, like you said, from his training, I can see someone wearing an Evolve outfit of that, you know, like, because you have different versions, you know what I mean? Like, you got different Supermans, you got different Batmans. Of course, I can see different Ice
right.
versions, you know, Ice Storms, you
right.
know? And, like, even, what is her name? Mirage? Mirage.
Yes, Mirage.
Is that a character? Yeah, I
yeah.
like Mirage. Oh, my God. She has, like, that whole ninja Street Fighter, you know, motif that everyone can
right.
fall in love with. And, of course, Stargazer, she is so gorgeous. You know, I was just like, wow. I mean, of course, we're going to see a softer tone version, of course. But it's so beautiful to watch and see people come up with their ideas. And I think that's what streams from video games, comic books, movies, you know, graphic novels, your ideas for your characters. I definitely can see someone making a costume or even a suit, you know. Like, someone can make a suit based off of a Stampede or making a, what's this guy's name, Flair? Flair looks
yeah.
really interesting, too. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Just making
okay.
sure everybody. No, I'm sorry. I'm just going into a rant. But no, I was just making sure everybody
okay.
was calling in.
Well, I told you guys I'm a little under the weather, so I try to mute as much as possible so I'm not, like, clearing my throat.
Oh, okay, I get it, brother. But Lincoln, definitely, even, what's the other girl's name, Vibrant?
Yeah.
A Vibrant is definitely a character I can see a lot of girls or women play or dressing up as, because the cast, I mean, like, I'm looking at it right now, and I can see some people going in certain directions with it,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely a very beautiful character. And she doesn't always have to be a blonde. People don't understand. I've seen big people play characters too. Of course, it's one of those things like diversity. Doesn't have to be always
mm-hmm.
a skinny person. You can see a full figure
right.
girl and the way she go about it eloquently and beautifully and still pull off the character or pull off the
right.
her version. You know what I mean? So,
right.
or even a guy, you know what I mean? Like doing a different version of Streak, you know, but well, of course, his version, you know what I mean, or her version, you
right.
know what I mean?
Right,
but
absolutely.
They're pretty cool characters.
Thank you.
But so let me ask you this. Since so far you say you're going to be doing meetups, you were definitely making more of a con presence for some upcoming comic book conventions?
Well, this year we had applied to New York Comic Con. And so, you know, you have to wait to see if you got accepted for that. So we'll see
right.
if we get accepted for that, which I'm not sure what's going to happen. But we have no other cons scheduled to go to this year, mainly because we're trying to produce content. So one of the
right.
things with indie artists is that you're constantly broke. You know, and so we have to do this conversation again because, you know, it would be interesting. We should talk about the business of comic books. I mean, I think that, you know, fans and they really don't appreciate the time and the resources, and I include time in that resources word, the resources that go into creating a book. And it is understandable that they wouldn't. They just want a product, and I get that. But for indie artists, and that's why I always try to say that we have to really support each other, because
yes.
it is truly, truly not easy. Truly
no.
not easy. It is a very time-consuming effort, and it's a very expensive effort. And
yes.
you really have to have an understanding of business in order to really pull this off successfully. And a lot of people out here are doing this for the love of it, you know, and people say, oh, Lincoln, you know, I'm so glad you're pursuing your passion. And I'm like, this is so not my passion, but this is not my passion, but I like it and I can do it. And I am going to do it, but it's different for me. It's really, I look at it more of a business than I do as just a hobby to do.
And so I try to educate others on the business of this, because, you know, you really have to understand, if you're really trying to do this, there are certain things you should be made aware of in order to really make this successful.
Definitely. There's definitely certain steps that you have to take and know it, like, concrete. Like, every time you go, you think of the next level, you still have to go back to the, you know, those core ideas to make it happen. Because even as an entertainer, people don't understand what we're trying to do as an entertainer. I mean, no, I know this is about your segment, but I'm just going to just give you an idea. As an entertainer, I'm an entertainer, do bar mitzvahs, weddings, communions, but then the whole cosplay, science, you know, sci-fi, anime, it's still a new toy or a new concept. And it has to be always self-defining how you bring, I'm just going to get to the point, family-friendly, aesthetic, but still get across whatever concept, let's say your idea, or let's say at the comic book in general, the comic book store in general, because some mom-and-pop companies, it's hard to put it out there to go on the internet and put their content and figure out, okay, what's the latest comic book coming out? Well, like your comic book coming out soon. Or, you like your graphic novel? Oh, what's going digital? It's so many things to keep pushing it and keep pushing it. And as an entertainer, like you say, you know, like, for instance, I have to go in the library sometime, which I did today. I went to West Orange Library. I know I'm calling them out. But, you know, just to come up with a concept, hey, we could do something with kids and adults and make it work, because it's always the concept, just like with you, to make the comic book work and everyone to draw into that story. You know what I mean? Just like Bill, you know, he's a photographer, so he meets so many people, you know, in the back, like pulling the strings and, actually some of the heavy hitters or the key masters and the gatekeepers, we call them key masters and gatekeepers, we call them that all the time. And it's all about how you get in the industry. For instance, you're a comic book writer and you want people to know the business. Like, how do you – first you have to come up with an idea and know it inside and out and write it, you know. That's something you have to learn, like, basically good grammar. You have to know all the spelling. Even if it's spelled a certain way, it has to be, you know, poetic, but yet still to, you know, make the story flush out. You know, you can't say, I ain't going to the store. No, I am going to the store. You know? So, but it's all, at the end of the day, it's all about bringing it, like, from a seed to a flower. So I get it back to what you were saying, the business in itself. Like, just learn it. You know, you might find something in that and bring something else out of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, we would, that's a whole nother segment to talk about with the business.
I could
go in, you know, as much detail as possible about the different things that any person who's looking to get into publishing into comic books should know. And that's, you know, based on my experience and based on my education, too. So, and just to give some background, I have a bachelor's in business administration or business management, and I have a master's in public administration. So, I think we are short on time.
Hello?
Jackie?
Yes, we are here. We went way over, but people are still listening in, and it's been a great conversation. And like I said, it's something we can definitely continue, and this is definitely something we can even continue with the meetups, and we can stream the meetups and focus on different topics. So we maybe put out some surveys and let people, you know, see what areas, you know, of interest everyone has. But this has been a great, great conversation. And everyone's been very excited about it. And you'd be surprised how many responses we have from really young people. So they're looking for something.
Okay.
It's something about their gems. And talking about gems, you never told us what are gems and why do you, you know, we got
right.
Trekkies, gladiators, and now gems. Let the people know what gems are.
Oh, so GEM stands for genetically enhanced human, and it's just our version of mutants, so our version of metahumans. You know, we can't use those words, so then we had to come up with something. And but they also go beyond just the comic book realm and within the comic book universe. It's also a reflection of our fans, because I just never liked the word fans. It's kind of self is like egotistical to me. Like, oh, you have all these fans. So I thought that it would be best if we consider them gems as well, people who have gifts and talents that they use to make us all better and make the Far Corner Studios better. Because without the people, we can't do our job. Without people supporting us, without people coming out and advocating for us, without people purchasing our stuff, I mean, they're using their talents, their resources to make us better. So that's just a, you know, us calling them gems is really a homage to them and to the gifts that they bring to us.
I like that. I really like that, because at the end of the day, you don't want them to be generic or, oh, you're just plain, you're basic. No,
mm-hmm.
You're a gem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's see, we're going to follow this up now. Bill, I think you're the only one, and maybe you need to just reiterate Lincoln. But, Bill, if you could let everyone know how to get in touch with you, if they want to find out more about you and your services. And do you do any special photography or shoots or anything with cosplayers?
I do pretty much every type of photography that is known to man. I've shot things for the Philadelphia Convention Center. I've shot the actual outside of the Convention Center for their lighting. I've shot City Hall for the city. I've shot different buildings and structures for Drexel University. I've done stuff. I work with the Enquirer Daily News. I've done video, and that's actually how I met Ron Howard. I did video backstage at the first Made in America, and I had gotten a chance to actually interview him while he was interviewing Janelle Monáe and several other people. He was doing a documentary for HBO. So those are two of the things that I do. I also do a little bit of PR, not to step on your toes. I'm not on your level, Jacqueline. I'm not on your level. But, you know, in a pinch, you know, I can write, a little press release here and there. You know, I've done that from time to time for some of my own events. I've done fashion events. I'm called on to do different types of events. So I was the COO of an event planning company.
With that,
I was dealing with celebrities. We were doing celebrity golf tournaments for football players. In that time frame, too, I wound up becoming friends with, like, Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy, and people such as that. And now that the NFL draft is coming up, those same relationships are coming back, because LeSean's going to be doing a party here with some other promoter friends of mine. Most of the promoters in Philadelphia I know. So for the past 15 years, actually probably 18, I've been a professional photographer. And then before that, I was kind of a professional party goer. And I just linked all of that up with the different things that I was doing to make sure that pretty much anything that has to do with entertainment, I'm there. I do all the AC, shows in AC. I do most of the shows at the Lear Corps Center. I just did two at the Lear Corps Center in the last couple of weeks. I work with the radio station. So normally I'm that person that has about 1 degree of separation from most people who are in any industry, in fashion, politics, or, of course, entertainment.
Oh, yeah, you're that gray area.
Yeah, I'm a big gray area.
No, that's good. That's cool. I respect it. I bow down. I'm not worthy.
Thank you.
Also a good guy, because I met Lincoln. I mean, not Lincoln. I mean, I didn't meet you, but I met Bill through an event called the Give Back, where people give back. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure. I don't know how he heard about it, but since I was the PR person, you know, he came to me. You know, I started taking pictures, you know, people, all kind of things. And we, you know, we had celebrity headliners. But he gave back. He donated some of the images, but he wanted to give them to me. So I just made sure everybody knew about them. And
That's one of my secrets. A lot of times you may see me somewhere, and especially if it has something to do with kids, I'm probably donating my time and my images. So that's my key thing that's got me to where I am now, that I have no problem, you know, doing things of that nature, especially if it's for a good cause. I love children. So
And that's what this is about.
Yeah, well, let's continue to build the three of us, because I think there's so many things that we can do to leverage each other in a singular way. So especially when we talk about giving back and, you know, doing things for children, I think we could really do some great things. Also, Bill, any of your people into comic books? I mean, you ringing off a lot of names here, brother.
Yes,
and
yes.
So you need to.
I don't know into the comic books, but I know that I thought of a couple of people that could play some of your characters, like professional ball players. And, you know, that would be a nice thing right there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Also,
there you go.
Listen, I don't mind selling them a copy of the book.
Get
some of the players to do the Read Like a Gem. We have our give back is Read Like a Gem literacy. I mean, that could be a good starting relationship.
That's a stem right there.
Yeah, I definitely see kids sitting around and having some basketball players from the NBA or NFL players having them read, you know, your books to some of the children. I can see that. And I think I did say I do video, but one of my partners, one of my best friends, I told Jacqueline this, that we had a business together. I was doing pictures and printing, and then I do artsy things with them. I can frame them and everything else, but he's an airbrush artist, and he's worked for Don McNabb and all these other, you know, high-profile people. He's done murals. He's done cars, helmets, motorcycles. He does all these different things. And one of the things we do is we do printing. So he's a master printer pretty much. He's been doing it almost all his life, about 30 years. And I kind of come in on doing, you know, pictures and everything else. So we can do vinyl. We do T-shirts. We do pretty much everything across the board. Now, I didn't give my information before, but I can be reached by going directly to my website. My website for my photography is William Andrews with an S photography. So William Andrews Photography, all one word, .com. And from there, you have my Facebook, Instagram, and also my Twitter are listed on there. But if you look up Bill Andrews Photography, just one whole word on Facebook and Instagram, you'll find me. And if you look up on Twitter, at BA, my initials, Bill Andrews, Celeb, C-E-L-E-B, Photog, P-H-O-T-O-G, you'll find me on Twitter.
Today he went in.
Okay,
mind explosion.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the question.
Okay, go ahead, Peace. And, okay, Peace, how do we reach you? And then Lincoln, let us know how we reach you.
Well, I was going to put my information out. I could be three different ways. Let's just go with, obviously, Facebook. I'm going there right now. Peace More at Facebook. Also, my email address is raypormiss@hotmail.com. And you know what? I'm going to put my number out there just as business, just for business purposes only. My phone number is 973-204-1890, and it's everything with events, cosplaying events, performances, and I dance and host other, you know, performances and stuff like that. So you can contact me through that.
Great.
Okay. And you can reach us at farcornerstudios.com. Farcornerstudios.com will take you to a page that says it's coming soon. But we are on Tumblr right now until the website is up. We're on Tumblr or farcornerstudios.tumblr.com. And we also have Instagram, Far Corner Studios on Instagram. And we also have Twitter, which is Far Corners, and that's two S's at the end, so it's Far Corners with and then S. So and then we also have, what else do we have? We have, oh gosh, I'm losing it. Tumblr,
Far Corner Studios, Facebook.
Far Corner Studios on Facebook, and Team Genesis on Facebook. And you can reach me. You can reach me on chief@farcornerstudios.com, which is CHIEF. At farcornerstudios.com. tudios.com.
Yes. And also on LinkedIn, we have a company page for our Corner Studios.
Oh,
yes. For our Corner Studios LLC. LinkedIn. But yeah, but even if you just go to the Tumblr, like farcornerstudio.tumblr.com, I think our social media handles are there, so you'll be able to get everywhere. And I just have to figure out how to put a lead capture on even farcornerstudios.com, because if you just sign up on you sign up, then you know you'll get updates and everything. So when you go to the Tumblr, you'll be able to sign up so that you can. Everything that's going on. So, gentlemen, we're going to just say we're out. And, I needed to let everybody know, I forgot to say, the show opened up with Shiro by Mahogany. She's an independent artist. Was it okay, Lincoln?
It's fine. It's fine. We're going to have a I know, I'm like such a critic, right?
We have a
theme song we've got produced by a young guy in Philadelphia. So I can't wait for everyone to hear that. And we also, I didn't tell her like this, we also have a 30-second teaser that's coming out, animated teaser coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, so we have some great things coming up. So everybody just, you know, stay aboard. Please, you know, hit us up at farcornerstudios.tumblr.com or on any social media handle. And let's just keep this going. And we're going to have one of our other topics has to be about the universe. You have to tell us, you know, what makes the Far Corner universe. Okay.
Absolutely. All right, thank you.
Anyone else have anything to say?
No, thank you. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone. I appreciate your time. It was a great conversation.
I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again and meeting up with you and meeting you in person. I think this is going to be an excellent thing to
make this happen.
Get out there. I see big things for you guys. I'm very proud of, you know, to know you, talk to you, and I'm hoping, you know, this thing goes to the sky and back. And then back up.
Let's take it to another level.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Have a good night.
Good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Water. Peace.